Live from the top of the head of George Washington at Mount Rushmore, South Dakota, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling with your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, father, marksman, author, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who won't take no for an answer, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Daredevil, sculptor, Deadeye, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics at Barcelona, Spain, a man who can eat an entire box of Luden's cherry cough drops, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yay! Hey, just out of curiosity, do I hear sirens in the background?
Oh, maybe. It was Rebel Yell. Billy Idol.
I was thinking I was hearing sirens going off, you know, like fire trucks or something.
No,
that's just in your head. You hear sirens.
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, there's fires all over the place.
Well, not today.
Fires in California. There's fires in the Midwest. There's fires in the Everglades. There's fires everywhere.
Well, that's probably true. Hey, I've got a guest with us today. Should I introduce my guest?
Well, it'd be nice.
With us today is nationally renowned lightning expert, Dr. Jacqueline Graham.
Well, welcome
thank you.
To the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Dr. Graham, you're going to have to scoot up closer to the microphone.
Okay. There. Is that close enough?
Yeah. Some of our old listeners...
Watch out that you don't get shocked.
Some of our old listeners may remember Dr. Jacqueline Graham back from when she was just Bachelor of Science Jacqueline Ringhausen, who used to call in and give us weather reports back in the days when we were on AM radio.
Yeah, I did. I did that for
several
years.
That was when
you
had to just make stuff up because you hadn't actually graduated.
No, I think I did a pretty good job.
I was thinking maybe you just made it up too.
I mean, I definitely didn't do a ton of research considering it was like at, 7 a.m. and I would wake up almost immediately and do it.
No preparation?
Well, actually,
go ahead.
Actually, I think making it up would fit in better with the show.
Oh, well.
I think that too. You know, the other thing that I remember about those days is that, and this is pertinent right now, the NCAA tournament's going on. And Jackie's, I think, the only member of the family that actually went to a tournament game.
Yeah, I did. I was part of the St. Louis University pep band. I played the piccolo, and they picked a couple of us to go. Sounds like piccolo. And then we went to California, and we played in the band there. It was great. We took, like, a private
jet. Let me ask you this about the traveling band.
Yeah.
Did they have a person who played the triangle?
That was us. I would play the triangle. Yeah. So
you were the triangle.
So we would switch. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes there would be songs where you just have to like hit the triangle. Like there was, what song was it? There was a pause, and then it would just be ding. And that's what we get to do.
And that got you a trip to the NCAA tournament, being able to play the triangle?
Well, the piccolo. And the piccolo. You need piccolos.
That was back when SLU was like, SLU had a really good team for about 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah. We had several, like, Australian and New Zealand players, and they were really tall and really good at basketball. So, yeah, it was a good team.
Rick, you could have said they had a really good band.
Well, they did. Best band in the land is the SLU band.
There you go. Yeah, I think they got beat. Did they made it through the first game but lost the second, didn't they, on
yeah.
Where you went?
No, we won the first one, and then, yeah, we lost the second. And we had to ride in the plane home with the players because we had a private jet, and it was very sad, and we were told not to act happy so that we wouldn't upset the basketball players.
Because the band doesn't care.
Well, you care, but like we're not as
you're not gonna. It doesn't define your whole life. You had an exciting trip to California, right? And getting to ride on a private jet airplane.
I know, it was great. They gave us each a whole can of Pringles. I remember that. That was exciting.
And you just had to sit there and pretend like you were really sad, even though you weren't.
Yeah, I mean, it was out of respect for the team. They're the reason we were there.
The band didn't lose.
No, we did great. Like, we had, it was funny because when you're there, like, everyone has to wear their gear all the time, like, when you're out in public. And then you'd meet another band, you'd have, like, a band off, basically. You'd have, like, some eating competition.
Like
or
a rumble?
Well, it was usually more chill than that, but.
You didn't all carry knives?
No.
Like, blackjacks?
Use your instruments.
I just have a picture of you beating somebody with a piccolo.
There you go. It's not the best instrument to use.
Alan, let me ask you this question. If you were going to fight someone with a band instrument, what instrument would you use or choose?
I'm thinking like the trombone.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
I think you'd have a good reach with that.
That's, you got some reach with that.
Your first thing is to say, well, the tuba is the biggest, heaviest instrument, but I don't think you'd really swing a tuba well.
You'd be slow.
It'd be protection. Yeah, you wear it around you.
Like an oboe. It'd be good.
Those guys that like do the marching drums and have like the big clubs that they pound the marching drums with, those might be good to beat someone if you're in a band fight.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, honestly, a flute wouldn't be bad, I guess. It's aerodynamic and metal.
I'd want two of them. One for each hand.
Yeah, you could spin them around.
Yeah, kind of like a...
Like nunchucks.
Like a ninja, yeah.
I can do twirling with them. I twirl my flutes.
So there. Okay, so since last Jackie was on the show, she's become like this lightning expert. It's what you've featured yourself in now, right?
Yeah, I'm an atmospheric scientist, but yeah, most of my research has been focused on lightning.
Okay, so I've got a site called Lightning Myths and Facts from the National Weather Service.
Okay.
It's official, so the questions we will ask will be along these lines.
I don't want to be quizzed. Are you going to quiz me?
I'm going to quiz you, yes.
Okay.
If you're caught outside during a thunderstorm, you should crouch down to reduce your risk of being struck. Alan, what's your answer to that?
Crouch down? Nah, it's a waste of time.
What about lay down flat on your face? You're out in an open field, lightning striking all around. Lay down on your face or not?
If you like, no, then you can't see what's happening, man.
Well, Dr. Graham, what do you say?
If a lightning bolt's got your name on it, it's got your name on it. Doesn't matter if you're looking down or looking up or standing up or laying down.
Okay, so the answer, I would say, is first off, you want to run away and go inside or into a vehicle rather than crouch if you can. If you're literally somehow in the middle of nowhere and there's no shelter or cover anywhere, then crouching is better than laying down. Because if you're laying down, you have more surface area touching the ground, and you're more likely to get, a side strike where lightning will strike the ground and travel through you. Whereas if you're crouched, it'll travel through one foot and out the other versus going through all of your body.
Oh, okay. And the National Weather Service says that's right.
Are you okay?
Alan, it sounds like you're having a tuberculosis attack.
I hope you didn't just...
Alan, are you still there?
Yes, I'm listening.
Why are you breathing so heavy?
What, have you been like running a track meet or something?
Maybe using the wind.
Maybe I got this too close to my face.
Yeah. Like in a tornado?
There. How's that?
Yeah, that's better. Okay. How about this one? Lightning never strikes twice in the same place. Alan?
That's fake. It strikes. Hell, if I had a lightning rod out there, it's going to strike that more than once.
I agree. What do you say, Dr.
I agree. Yeah,
Dr.
Lightning can strike the same spot for sure. And a lot of times, even in the same lightning flash, you'll get it striking multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, like the Empire State Building gets struck all the time, doesn't it? Doesn't it have a lightning...
Not all the time, but yeah.
Well, I don't mean like nonstop to where it's just like lightning rain down, but it's been struck multiple times.
Yeah, of course.
Statue of Liberty's been
I'd
struck.
I'd pay to see it if it did.
I know, wouldn't that be cool?
I mean, yeah, if you put a tall, pointy object in the sky, it's going to be more likely to get struck. So it enhances the electric.
It'd be like, what are those orbs that have like the, it looks like lightning all the time, and when you touch the outside of the orb, it draws all the little electric bolts plasma, to your hand.
Plasma ball.
What are those things called?
They're called plasma balls.
Plasma ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like what the Empire State Building's like in a storm.
Big plasma ball. What about, what's the thing that makes your hair stand up on end when you hold on to it?
Van de Graaff generator.
A Van de Graaff generator. That sounds like something we should have at the farm.
You can get one.
It made all my hair fall out.
Yeah, it wouldn't take as much effort to make all my hair stand on end as it would have when I was a young man.
I mean, they're pretty fun. We had one. We had a Van de Graaff generator, and then like one of my coworkers, Mike, built like a Jacob's ladder, and then we also
what's a Jacob's ladder?
I think Uncle Alan's built one. I think we talked about this.
Where yeah, what do you call like that thing, Alan, where the lightning runs up between two, like, antennas?
That's what it's called.
Well, I can't actually say whether or not I actually have one,
because, of course, you don't.
The item that you're describing...
Well, you're allowed to have them. There's nothing wrong with it.
Is a Jacob's ladder.
Yeah.
I think you can have them. I'm just not sure about making one yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you can order kits online.
Is there a limit to how big you can make one? I mean, if we had like a couple of iron bars that were like 20 or 30 feet long and stood them up side by side, could we run like a big lightning bolt up through them?
You have to
have a much more powerful generator.
You'd have to have a lot of power at the base.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you.
No, wait. I wasn't done with the, what was the Van de Graaff generator?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say I had hair as long as Lady Godiva, like touched the ground, and I went up to a Van de Graaff device and put my hand on, would like my hair stand up 6 feet into the air?
Like if he's cousin
Ed. I mean, it depends on the power of your Van de Graaff generator, but if you had a strong enough one, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see
Lady. Wouldn't that kill you?
No.
I'm thinking Lady Godiva, granted, been in the Van de Graaff generator is the sort of thing that would be very popular. But that's just me.
Wait, do
I chose Lady Godiva for different reasons than you.
I just thought of chocolate when you said
that. All right, go on.
Well, you could have said Cousin It from the Addams Family and made your point just the same. You ever wonder what's underneath of that stack of hair?
Well, my next choice was going to be Dudley Do-Right. From when the episode where he went feral and grew a long beard.
Grew a long beard that covered him entirely.
But yeah, we also built like a mini little, they call it a Tesla coil, but it's just like a little, it has tiny little sparks coming off in all directions, and it's actually producing corona. And we had the Jacob's ladder and that to show that the corona is not that hot. So we would hold like a candle up to it and it wouldn't light, whereas the Jacob's ladder will light your candle.
You wouldn't stick your finger in the Jacob's
ladder. You got that right.
Yeah. And we made a box so the kids wouldn't hurt themselves.
You know, there's just so many cool, fun toys with electricity that you can play with.
Uh-huh. Wait, did we get the answers right? You haven't been saying.
Yeah, so far.
We don't encourage our listeners to do any of those things.
Okay. No, I'm not saying that.
Do we?
Okay, Alan, here's the next question.
They're supervised by a lightning scientist.
Heat lightning. Real or fake?
Heat lightning. Yeah, sure.
Dr. Ringhausen? Graham?
Mean, it's...
Dr. Graham Crackers?
It's not like its own type of lightning. It's literally just lightning that is far away in the distance in a distant thunderstorm. It's not caused by heat.
Oh. No. But we're talking about on a really hot day, you know, where there might not be a cloud in the sky and lightning will just strike because it's so darn hot.
No, that's not real.
No.
Now you're making that into something that it's not, Rick.
It's not. Well, it's just normal lightning in a distant storm. That's all it is. And there happens to be a lot of thunderstorms in the summertime.
And the colloquialism for it is heat lightning.
Okay. Who was right?
Okay, what about ball lightning?
Thank you.
Ball lightning, real, fake?
Inconclusive.
Inconclusive?
Yeah.
I thought ball lightning is absolutely a thing, like St. Elmo's fire.
St. Elmo's fire is a thing, but that's not ball lightning.
Are you sure?
I don't know if I've ever heard of ball lightning.
Oh, yeah, we have a whole section of about ball lightning.
Like when lightning strikes in outer space and there's no gravity, it just forms a ball.
No, that's not...
Is that what Ezekiel saw?
I mean, there's a bunch of old, you know, people wrote down that, like, a ball of electricity went through the wall and traveled into their home and then fried something or hit them.
Hey, let me
but
tell you something.
There's been no real proof of it. And they tried to reproduce it in a lab, and they didn't really.
Back home, when we were kids, Mom was cooking something, and lightning struck and came through the window and struck the stove and killed the stove.
Okay. Was the window open?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah.
Lightning can do that?
Sure, it could go through a window if there's a big metal object there and it wants to strike it, sure. It can go through your plumbing. That's why they used to say, like, don't take a shower when it's thunderstorming, because houses back then weren't grounded the way they are, and it could travel through the plumbing and electrocute you.
Huh.
And, the gap.
Yeah, or the toilet. It could even...
Is there a single documented case that you're aware of someone who got killed in a shower, showering during a thunderstorm?
I'm certain there are cases of them being electrocuted. I don't know about killed. And I've definitely seen, like, damage. Like, you can see the lightning traveling through the area, and it burns a path in the house because it wasn't grounded. It usually follows either the plumbing or the electrical wires.
Okay, what's that?
You can probably find that on the internet.
Yeah.
What's that thing that you hook up to a big block of wood and it'll burn like a design into it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. It starts with an L. It's like Lichtenberg.
Kids, don't try this at home either.
Yeah, that's very dangerous. I have not tried that because it does kill a lot of people, actually.
Trying to do this
yeah.
thing.
I'm actually scared to try that. It's where you, like, hold electrodes to wood and it burns like a path that looks kind of like lightning.
Yeah.
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 It's cool, but it's dangerous.
But don't do that at home, right? Kids, like Alan, who's a kid.
It's like a tree.
Yeah, it looks like a tree. I mean, lightning looks like a tree.
It's art.
Yeah.
It is art.
I like
lightning
it.
Art.
I have a couple pieces of it, but I did not make them.
Okay. I've got a commercial first. Alan, you got time for a commercial?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Ben Franklin's Lightning Kite. Here's your chance to relive one of the great moments in scientific history. A completely authentic model of Ben Franklin's famous kite, complete with attached lightning rod, silk thread, and key. Simply wait for the next thunderstorm, grab your kite, and head out for some real excitement. Imagine how it will feel when your kite is struck by actual lightning. The tingling experience of touching the key. It's too exciting to even think about, hardly. Get yours today. Ben Franklin's Authentic Lightning Kite. This program is also sponsored by Ben Franklin Life Insurance. Get yours today. Before you get the kite.
Okay.
What about the Ben Franklin burn kit?
Did he actually do that, though?
What, the kite?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Sure?
That's
did
a
he do it, or did someone else do it for him?
That was him and his son did that together.
But did his son do it? He sent his son
no,
out?
No, it was him. His son was a child. Ben Franklin, it's what made him famous. He became world famous as a result of that. How can you be a lightning expert and not know this?
I mean, I know it, but I don't know if I know the truth behind it.
Have you ever flown a kite in a...
Lichtenberg fractal burning.
There you go.
That's what it's called when you're shocking a piece of wood with two bare electrodes,
yes.
Right?
The Ben Franklin, yeah. I've been struck by lightning in a car.
Huh?
Like, I've had cars struck by lightning.
What's the static electric jar that's got, like, a copper electrode that comes out of the top of it?
That's a Leyden jar. Yeah, it was a jar that they cooked up. This was before they determined that lightning and electricity were the same thing, but they built that thing up. It was like it would generate and store a big static electricity charge, and then when you touched it, it would discharge the stored electricity into you and give you a mild shock. It was kind of a fun thing to do at parties.
Yeah. I like that.
When I was
parties you go to.
When I was in junior high...
I mean, that sounds like a fun party.
When I was in junior high, there was a thing that went around where kids would take... and by kids, I meant the bad kids, would take cigar boxes. You'd wrap them in aluminum foil and put a battery inside of it, and you hand it to someone so that they would open it, and it would give you a shock.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you remember those, Alan? Do you remember people who had those?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You'd take one of them big square batteries like you might put in a flashlight, and they'd wire that to the foil and set it up so that, and they, you'd put something on the outside of it like candy or that would cause someone to open the box and give them a shock. Kids, don't do that at home either. That's a bad thing.
Nope. I've heard of like old timey, like, you know, Ben Franklin old timey parties. They were like electricity parties and they would do experiments at the parties. Like they'd tie people to the ceiling on ropes and then like rub something on them to and then make them pick up pieces of paper with their bodies to study static electricity.
See, now I'm thinking more of the Lady Godiva party.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Could we? Here's the thing about solving America's energy problems. Could we do that by having like thousands and thousands of sheep and hire the homeless to rub balloons against them to generate electricity? How much electricity could we generate doing that?
Not enough
to light a light bulb.
Not enough.
Okay. Tell them the story you told me, though, Jackie, about the question of whether or not we should be harnessing lightning to power the country.
I mean, we can't yet. We don't have the capacity, or we haven't learned how, and lightning doesn't strike in a regular enough pattern to make it a reliable energy source.
I thought you were telling me something about your first year in weather school, the formula they make you concoct.
Oh, yeah, like, in the lightning class, like, our first assignment is to calculate the number of strikes per kilometer squared in Florida, and then the number of households and light bulbs in Florida, and the amount of power in each lightning bolt and how many light bulbs it could power to show that it's not a good source.
When you get right down to it, lightning bolts, or harnessing lightning is not going to solve the nation's problems.
No. It's just too instantaneous.
That exercise just sounds depressing.
Well, it's one of like the most common questions people bring up when you're a lightning scientist. They're like, oh, why don't you just harness the lightning? It's kind of like, well, people also, if you say meteorologist, they'll be like, oh, is climate change real? Like, those are kind of...
So, is climate change real?
Oh, my gosh.
is it time for me to ask my question?
Sure. Yeah. Do you have a question?
Okay. Dr. Graham, are you aware of the weather station in remote Alaska that the government is using to control the weather?
No.
Oh, would you tell us
if
you...
get out of college?
I did not learn about that. That's not something... I mean, we have weather sensors in Alaska. Like, the company I work for right now is global... So we have lightning sensors all over the globe.
So to what extent can you control the weather?
You can't. I mean, you can, like, seed clouds if there's something there already to seed and make it rain a little bit. But you're not going to, like, make a hurricane or, like...
Making a hurricane would be cool. You guys
can't... That'd be hard.
I hear that there were a lot more hurricanes last year because you guys in the government were causing them.
Oh, my gosh, stop. I'm going to kill you. Nope.
Is it time for me to ask another question?
I guess.
Okay. Other than trying to predict the weather for the, you know, 5 o'clock news every day, what else does a meteorologist actually do?
I mean, most of our job isn't predicting the weather for the 5 o'clock news. It's for the public, you know? Like, every single time you look at the weather on your phone, it's from meteorologists who have looked at models and compared them and looked at trends, looked at climatology from the past, and figured out what they think is going to happen in the future. They're predicting into the future. But, I mean, it's also used in, you know, like, agriculture, like seasonal forecasting. What do we think is going to happen for crop planting? It's used in flood forecasting.
Whoa.
It's used in...
That's what you use the almanac for.
Well, okay. That, you can use the almanac, but you could also pay a meteorologist to do it, and I have a feeling you'll probably get a better answer.
You don't think that the almanac, Farmer's Almanac, is written by meteorologists?
No comment. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, it's...
The reasonable man knows when he doesn't know something.
I almost did that for a science experiment, compare the Farmer's Almanac forecast to the Weather Service.
Oh, that would be a cool thing. Yeah, that would be a public service.
Yeah, right?
You'd never convince the old farmers that it was not accurate.
But yeah, we forecast for all different types of things. Wildfires, we've been doing that a lot lately, you know. Forecasting the dry conditions, where wildfires are likely to spread, what the winds are, predicting where it's going to go, trying to figure out what if there's lightning in the area, if there's going to be lightning-initiated wildfires.
Oh, well,
it sounds like your science is very similar to well witching.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, that's not, Alan's not insulting you there, because he believes in that,
no.
Even though it's nonsense.
I mean, it's just a lot of math and computers, basically, using equations to predict the future.
Okay. As a female meteorologist, most of the meteorologists are men, is that correct?
Yes, but it's getting better.
Okay. As a female meteorologist, what percentage of the time when you tell someone you're a meteorologist, do people go, oh, are you going to be a weather girl on TV? Are we going to see you on TV?
A lot. There's a large percentage that say either that or, how does it feel to get paid to be wrong? Or something like that.
How does it feel to get paid to be wrong?
Stupid like that, even though they're right like 90% of the time.
You know, when I was in government, I got asked that question a lot, too.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's an annoying question. Don't ever ask your meteorology friends that. Either of those.
It can't be worse than my wife telling me that I'm wrong all the time, and I don't get paid for that.
Okay. But the... yeah.
What, now you're frustrated? Have we hit the two most aggravating topics that there are?
It just is aggravating because it's so... They're literally predicting the future.
Are all
and they're doing
weather
a good job.
People as sensitive as you are?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, for the sciences, they call the weather, like, atmospheric scientists, like, the drama kids of the sciences. Like, if you were going to put them there, they're like the theater kids of... science.
Of the meteorologists that you know, are you the best ping pong player?
100%.
That's the answer.
I haven't met one yet, and I've played quite a few of them. We used to have like a tournament with the professors at SLU, and I did beat them. And
make them cry?
No, I didn't make them cry.
Oh.
They were happy. They're really nice, actually.
Hey, Alan, when we play ping pong,
I got one more question.
Oh, go ahead.
If a cow gets struck by lightning and gets killed, will predators eat the dead body?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've seen studies where they've shown that it can be avoided by animals for some reason. And it could be due to, like, the ozone produced or something weird going on. But I don't really know because I'm not a biologist.
That's actually a better scientific answer than I anticipated, because I thought that was nonsense. Alan also believes in that, too.
I think there's some merit to that.
Yeah.
What?
You took your uncle's side over your dad.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Here's a question. Here's another question under the National Weather Service's site. If someone is struck by lightning and laying on the ground, you know, like doing the jerk, if you walk up and touch them, will you be electrified or electrocuted?
No.
Because they're full of electricity.
No, the first thing you do is throw water on them.
Oh my gosh. No, you're fine. You can touch them. They've already discharged. They're touching the ground.
According to the National Weather Service, it says that if someone is struck by lightning, it's safe to touch them because the electricity has already been discharged into the ground.
Wasn't that what I just said?
I know. Okay. I was just giving you an atta girl.
Oh, thank you. I know something.
See, I would be afraid that they would crumble into dust, just like the little girl from Interview with the Vampire.
No, I've never seen that.
I've never seen that either. Is that what happens in that? Is she struck by lightning?
Yep.
Oh.
Does she crumble into...
No. She gets exposed to the sunlight, and then when Brad Pitt touches her, she just crumbles like ash.
Ooh.
And that's what would happen if you got struck by lightning.
I don't think so, but that's creepy.
Well, it'd be cool if you got struck by lightning and became super intelligent.
If you had a young couple that was like holding hands and romping and frolicking in a field, and one of them was struck by lightning, would the other one feel the electricity too?
Yes.
It would travel through both of them?
Most likely, yes.
Hmm.
Rick, if they were a young couple in love and holding hands romping through the field, they were already feeling the electricity.
And most lightning strikes that people get are actually just, it'll hit the ground near them and then travel through the ground. Like when you see all those soccer players go down in a soccer game, it's just like hitting the ground usually and knocking them all down.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. In a soccer game, they all pretend to be struck by lightning, and, you know, just so that they can get the yellow card at that time and give their team a rest. But they're not really injured. Everybody knows that soccer players aren't really injured.
Okay.
All right, one last question because we're super out of time.
No.
Does lightning go up or come down?
Both.
What do you mean both?
It does both.
Everybody knows that. Everybody thinks that it's coming from the sky and striking down, but real scientists like me and Alan know that it comes from the ground up.
No, it's both. I mean, it can come from both. So usually you have it coming down as typical. You have these leaders coming down. You can't see them with your eye because they're too fast. And then it enhances
the
field.
You don't ever want to be in an airplane in a lightning storm.
Actually, you're pretty safe in an airplane. Yeah.
How about in a car?
But you get lightning coming up, and then the ones coming down meet with the ones coming up, and then you get a discharge upward, which is your return stroke, which is what you actually see with your eyes.
I saw...
And you can also have them going up off of towers.
I saw, once upon a time, a video that was taken, like, in Schenectady, New York, of a car that was struck by lightning, and it just exploded it.
Yeah. I mean,
I thought they were supposed to be safe in the car. I thought the wheels protected you.
The wheels,
rubber tires.
No.
The rubber tires is what protects you.
That's a misconception. That's a myth. The metal frame around you makes a Faraday cage so that you're safe inside.
A Faraday cage?
That's what it does. But a lot of cars nowadays...
The story you're talking about, Rick, that car got hit by lightning and it melted like all the plastic interior of the car, set off all the alarms, it did everything. If you'd been inside that car,
it would have
been roasted.
Well, the problem is a lot of cars nowadays they don't have as much of a metal frame. They're a lot more like plastic and
so it's not a Faraday cage like it used to be.
Not as much. And it also depends on the type of lightning. So there's lightning that has something called continuing current that basically stays on longer. And that's what they say is more likely to cause a wildfire, because it, like, heats up more.
What about the government-generated lightning?
No, there's not that.
Yeah. Okay. I know this is going to be shocking, but Alan's right. We are out of time. It's that time. Dr. Graham.
Alan's right.
Dr. Graham, we're glad to have you here today, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
See you later from Rick Gator.
Jackie Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. The part of Susie Snowflake was played by Dr. Jacqueline Graham Ringhausen.